This morning, if you would, go ahead and grab your Bible. Turn to Luke this morning. Luke chapter number 8. This morning, I want to remind you that we choose to believe the Bible because it is a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of eyewitnesses. It reports supernatural events that took place in fulfillment of prophecy. It's divine, not human in origin. This morning, we're looking at Luke chapter number 8. The last time we were together, we actually spoke about a parable. A parable is two Hebrew words that are scrunched together. It means to come along beside of and to toss. We spoke about last time the parable of the seed and the sower and the good ground. We spoke about last time how God will send the Holy Spirit to plow the hard ground. We spoke about the four different types of hearts, one being the hard heart, the one being shallow, the one being infested, and another being a good heart where the gospel truth is planted there and it brings forth good fruit. Jesus uses parables to explain explicitly what saith the Lord. There'll be no excuse on judgment day because you have a full understanding of what God has required of you as a free moral agent. Yes, God is sovereign, but you are a free moral agent. Preacher, what does that mean? That means God is above everything, but still, you're responsible for your sins and your obedience before God. This morning, I want you to join me in Luke chapter number 8 as we continue in our verse by verse, chapter by chapter exegesis of the book of Luke. We've been in the book of Luke for about 7 or 8 months, and we've got enough material to be in the book of Luke for at least another year and a half as we go verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Today will be no different as we look in Luke chapter number 8, verse 16. Jesus is now continuing in his parables. What he's proving here is that children are able to grasp the simplicity of the gospel and understand what Jesus is saying. So as a sophisticated businessman who's here today, the one who is rewarded with all kinds of degrees, has no excuse that logically, as we can read in the book of Isaiah chapter number 1, come now, let us reason together, because we understand that sin is illogical, is stupid, that we throw away our peace and our joy and salvation when we choose sin over salvation, grace and mercy. Amen. So we see in Luke chapter number 8, Jesus continues with another parable this morning. A, B, C, X, Y, Z. It's so simple this morning that Jesus brings it down and puts the cookies on the bottom shelf for the short people this morning, people like me. People who need it simple. People who need to understand what Jesus is requiring of me. He tells us in Luke chapter 8, verse 16, no one after lighting a lamp covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Here, Jesus is explaining a lit lamp. Now, in our houses, we might have ceiling fans, we have lamps, but they have light bulbs in them. There's no internal flame that's burning there. But I want to let you know, at this time, in this time period, Jesus is speaking about the little saucers that they had in each home. The little saucer was much like a little bowl, but each corner was pinched. And in that pinch, they would lay a thread or a wick at the edge of the saucer. The thread that would run down into the oil, and it was coiled. The oil that was there inside that little lamp was usually olive oil. The olives were usually crushed to make the oil. That's a whole other sermon. We won't even get into that today, but that'll preach. Amen. But the oil was inside the lamp, and they would place it up in a high place in the house to cast light. Now, it's not much like the lights here in our church or the lights here at your home or the lights in our cars as they illuminate the path when we go home this evening. These lights were kind of dim, but it was an open flame as the wick would soak up the oil and the flame would burn. So Jesus explains to those who were listening a parable to understand. If you have an open flame, you don't hide it anywhere. For there's a lot of reasons. You have to allow that flame to gather oxygen to keep burning. Even though there is oil, you're going to need oxygen. You're going to need it out in the open for it to burn. You're also not going to put it in a place where it's going to burn down your house, is what Jesus is saying here. He says no one covers it with a jar. He says no one hides it and puts it under a bed. This morning, Jesus is using the gospel and the stirring in the soul of the heart of the receiver, because he's also teaching about the hard ground, the shallow ground, the infested ground, and the good heart this morning. He says that those who receive the gospel, you don't hide it. I don't know about you, but me and Brother Will, we like to eat. Praise the Lord. And anytime we hear about a new restaurant, we're always texting each other. Hey, you hear about this restaurant? You hear about that one? Not like we can afford to go, but we like to talk about it. But whenever we hear about something new, we like to share the news. Share the news. Hey, there's a new steak joint over here. There's a new burger place over here. If we get that excited about a new chicken joint around the way, shouldn't you think we would be excited about what Christ has done and intervened in our life? Wouldn't you think? Yeah. If this morning, if you're not stirred in your affections for Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not picking on anybody who's reserved. I'm not picking on anybody who is just, that's their personality. I'm not talking about personality. I'm not talking about, I'm just a quiet person. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that you're stirred in your affections. That your ministry will look different than mine. I just happen to be able to stand in front of people and not even bat an eye and speak what's on my heart that God lays there. Your ministry will look different. Your pulpit will look different. Maybe your pulpit looks like maybe you're under a sink working on a sink because you're a plumber. Maybe you're a welder and your pulpit looks like a mask and you have a welder tool in your hand. Maybe your pulpit looks like a hammer, or you're in a bucket up in the air working on a pole or running cables. Your pulpit looks different. But the thing is, if Jesus has not done anything in your life, then you're probably not going to do anything for Jesus. Ooh, I felt like the air just came out of the room. Didn't y'all feel that? It's like, if Jesus has changed you in such a way that you'll never be the same. If you have encountered Christ, I didn't say you were perfect. Don't get me wrong. But if he has changed you in such a way, you got to let somebody know, because Jesus is better than a new steak joint. Amen. Jesus is better than the new burger at Hardee's. I mean, Hardee's will make anything on a burger. They put bologna on it. They put bologna on a burger. They call it the monster burger. You got to be a monster to eat it. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But if you get that excited over a new menu item, or you get that excited over that football touchdown, or you get excited because your team's in the championship. Now I understand there's some men that just say, I don't get emotional. I don't get emotional about those things. But let somebody say something about your mama. What? You said that? Well, you started talking about my mama? Talk about the Dallas football team. You might talk about your college, or speak about your favorite race car driver, and somebody wants to fight. It's just that you're emotional about the wrong things.
Come on.
That we'll be stirred in our hearts about Christ. That we'll be stirred in our hearts about the lost. If Jesus ain't done nothing for you, then you ain't gonna do nothing for him. I'll say that again. If Jesus hadn't done anything for you, you probably are not going to do anything for him. But if he saved you, if he's redeemed you, if he's kept you, if he's held you, it's not that you're doing it out of guilt. You're motivated out of love and grace and mercy. So when Jesus tells us that we don't hide our light under a jar, I wonder, are you hiding the things that God has done in your life, that light that he's placed in you? Are you snuffing it out with the cares of this world? Are you hiding it, secluding it? You don't put it up where everybody can see it or even know there's a light even in your home, let alone your heart. Or do you hide it under the bed? Stuff it under there. Well, I want to let you know, if you stuff an open flame under your bed's probably going to catch on fire. Then everybody's going to know, hey, something's burning over there. But I want to let you know that Jesus, in this analogy, he's telling us that we are not to hide, that we are to be quite explicit about the gospel. Here at the river, I'm a one sermon type man. I'm going to preach about Jesus. I know the text might be Gideon, might be Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It might be about Nebuchadnezzar. But we're going to get to Jesus. It always happens that way. You knew it when you hired me. That's where we're going. Today, we're going to talk about Jesus. Tonight, we're going to talk about Jesus. Wednesday, we're going to talk about Jesus. 10 years from now, we'll be talking about Jesus. Amen. But there's some churches, Jesus is an embarrassment. Well, no, we don't want to mention the blood. That's so grotesque. We don't want to mention the cross, the old rugged cross. It's so rugged. I know the edges are they're splintered filled and they're uncomfortable when you carry it on your shoulder. Why don't we sand it down a little bit? Throw some glitter and some Christmas lights on it. Maybe Febreze it. Maybe put it over in the corner and let's take away the cross and let's talk about how to make your best life now, how to balance your checkbook, how to raise good children. Those things are good and they have their place, but not in the pulpit. Let us speak about Jesus and how He's redeemed humanity, how He saved wretches like us. Let us be explicit about Christ. Let us not hide the light that illuminates. This morning, Jesus uses this parable to penetrate stony, cold hearts today. Those who are not nurturing the flame. Those who are not stirring the flame deep within their soul. Are you feeding the flame? The things you crave are the things you feed. This morning, if you're feeding carnality, you're feeding anger and bitterness, it's going to cause you to crave it even more. Christian, do you follow in the steps of David? He says, I hunger and thirst after righteousness. Are you feeding those things? Growing that flame this morning? In verse 16, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar, puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. Preacher, what do I do? Where do I begin? You tell me that everybody's not a preacher, but everybody's a reacher. Who do I reach? Well, there's a lot of people in your life that I'll never personally meet. There's people in your family that I'll never shake their hand or see them face to face. But you're placed there to point them to Jesus. That you are to be a billboard to speak about Christ. That you are to be the one who tells and testifies about His goodness and His mercy. Well, they tell us don't talk about politics and talk about religion. Well, let's start talking about those things. Let's start talking, because if they wanted to keep Christ private, they would not have executed Him out in the public. Let's be honest. He was executed behind the highway outside of Jerusalem. Everybody going in and out saw Him hanging there. So let us make our profession of faith public. Let people know that you are a follower of Christ. You don't go there. You don't do that. You don't smoke that. You don't drink that. You don't talk about that. You don't watch that, because it will cause you to grieve the one who has redeemed you and saved you. Put your light out on the stand. Let everybody see. Don't they all throw parades for things that are detestable? Don't they? And call it pride? Don't they do that? You got to do it like this when you say it. Pride? Don't they do that? Things that are private that should be left in the bedroom are now being stuffed down the throat of our children in public libraries by drag queens. And we call those things detestable. But they tell you, Christian, to be quiet and sit down. No, don't sit down and don't be quiet. Generations hang in the balance. This is the moment where you stand up and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not conservatism. No, not that. For we serve something greater than conservatism. We serve Christ. Him. No king but Christ. We serve Him. Not Trumpism. You can wear your red hat all you want. That's fine. But I serve Christ and Him only. Amen. Preacher, you're getting political. No, I'm not biblical. Amen. Verse 17, for nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known to come to light. In verse 17, this should cause the neck hairs to stand up. Because there will be a day when everything that's hidden will be revealed. This year, I believe there's been about 100,000 unsolved murders. People who've got away scot-free. Every day you'll turn on the TV, hear about a hiker who got missing and they find it with a blunt force to the head. It could have been an accident. It could have been murder. But Christian, even in this life, if you don't receive justice where somebody has done you wrong, or a loved one has been put in the ground by a wicked person running free, or even if your life is ended and you never receive justice on this side of glory, there will be a day where all men will give an account before God, and all things will be revealed before God and all of creation. It says it right here. Now, there's things in your life that you don't want known. There's things in my life that probably I don't want broadcasted that everybody knows about. But it's true of you. And there will be a day when it will be pulled back. The covers will be revealed. The closet door will be open. The skeletons will fall out. The rug will be rolled back and all the dirt will be seen. And I know nobody's rushing to that moment. We loathe that idea. The reason being is just like the murderers who got away with it, we're rebels before God. But like I spoke to you this morning, we cry, Abba, Father. He shows mercy on His children. I like kids. I love children. But I have a tendency to lean towards mine a little more than anybody else's because they're mine. These are my children. You are the same way with yours. Now you can understand God's tendency for His own. He loves them unconditionally. What do you mean unconditionally? You mean I can sin all I want? If you want to sin all you want, you don't really love Him anyway. You understand what I'm saying? For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Verse 18, take care. Take care then how you hear. He's saying, listen carefully in verse 18. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Maybe this morning he's telling you, listen carefully. Maybe you got so much dirt in your closet or so many skeletons hidden that you feel like you're unqualified to be in ministry. Well, Christian, you are in ministry. Like I told you, you're just not up on a platform. Maybe God is calling you to a platform, which is fine. Let me know. We'll get you up here. We'll get started. Amen. But maybe I'm so weak in my faith because of the secret things I do. Maybe I'm weak in my faith because I harbor unforgiveness and anger and bitterness. Maybe I have resentment in my heart or I'm jealous of someone else. God says He's going to reveal those things. Maybe that's why you won't serve Him like you ought. It's because you've been rebelling against Him secretly in your heart and you've been taking out the flame that He's given you and snuffed it out. Christian, you'll never be at peace until you walk into fulfillment of what He's called you to do. Whether you're handing out gospel tracts, whether you're standing on the corner handing out gospel literature, whether you're here on a Sunday morning encouraging the faithful that gather to worship here, whether you're leading choir or you're singing in the choir, whether you're working the altars and praying for those around, whether you're sending birthday cards to those who have birthdays that month, whatever your ministry is, be about it because Jesus has been about dying for your sins. If He ain't done nothing for you, you ain't going to do nothing for Him. Preacher, I don't like this because you're challenging me to do something. Preacher, I like when you tell me what Jesus has done for me. I like when you tell me how He loved me regardless of my failures in spite of me. But I don't like it when you challenge me. If Jesus has not done anything for you, step back and look at your life. Has He not kept you? Has He not sustained you and held you together? Has He not? Has He not stirred you to wake this morning? Did He not keep you over the weekend when the storm was raging? Did He not divert that bullet that was coming towards you? Did He not bring you off the bed of affliction? Did He not? Did He not hold your family together? And even if this morning your family fell apart, didn't He bring you through it? Didn't He? What about all the valleys I went through? What about all the dark places I went? Christian, you weren't alone through all that. He was there with you. What about the lion's den that I was in? When they could have tore you to shreds and He closed their mouths. What about all the wounds today that you might have? Maybe you're wounded in all different types of places and some of the wounds we can't see. But you sure do feel them today. Well, we can remember in Romans 8, 28, that all things work towards good, that you needed to be wounded there to make you look like Jesus. He has kept you. He He has held you. But you don't want to do anything for Him. That's a run-of-the-mill, average church member. What? Yeah, they come, they suck up the air conditioner, and they go home. They haven't changed. They'll be the ones that stand before God, like it says in Matthew 7. Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in Thy name? Didn't we do things in Your name? And He says, depart from me, for I never even knew you. They did something. They were doing something, but I didn't even know it. But you know them today, and you still won't do anything for them. There are people who ride around my neighborhood on Saturdays on bicycles. They wear white shirts. They're young men, and they call them elders. They wear black ties and have a name tag. They're called elders. They're knocking on your door on a Saturday morning, and they want to talk about the Mormon Jesus, the Latter-day Saints. They're more willing to do something for a lie than we as Christians who know the truth are willing to do for the truth. Okay, I got some amens there. They're in a cult. Pray for them, absolutely. But what are you doing for the truth? What are you doing? Are you serving Jesus? Are you honoring Him? Do you put your hands to labor, but when you lay your head on your pillow at night, you meditate on Him? That you're just not laboring without a relationship. You hear me? Do you work for Him, but do you know Him? And when you really know Him, you're laboring for Him with the right intentions. That you won't be trying to grab ownership over His ministry and His kingdom, trying to pull Him off the throne so you'll receive glory. I'll use an example. Say, for instance, you make potato salad at a homecoming. Now, let me tell y'all, so we've got some good cooks in here. Praise the Lord. Free Will Baptist, Full Plate Baptist. What I like. Boy, I love the way you guys cook. But you got to let everybody know, my potato salad's the best. Everybody better know this. I brought this potato salad. You put a big sign out. This is my potato salad. It's the best potato salad. It's good that you're doing that for Jesus, but really you're doing that for you. Now let's be, are you, is that, am I overstepping? Now don't get me wrong, y'all bring potato salad next week, please. Amen, right? But when you bring the potato salad, make sure it ain't for you to show off. You can't have a potluck without my potato salad. Bring the potato salad for Jesus. And I know that's so simple. That's ridiculous, preacher. I'm just making it so simple that you understand, that even I understand, that I'm preaching out up here and I have to check myself. I'm just going to be honest, that it's not about me. Whether you smile or you frown, that I keep continue talking about Jesus. Whether when I preach the gospel, if it fills the room or clears the room, that I continue to preach about Jesus. Yeah. That my heart don't get heavy when there's three or four on Wednesday nights, that I continue to preach about Jesus. Don't get me wrong. I would love the house to be full on midweek service. Y'all know we got midweek service. Y'all know that, right? We'll send out some emails, maybe do some phone calls to remind people we have midweek service. The pastor is called to feed the flock, but I can't feed you if the flock don't show up. Who threw that? Join us midweek service. Join us on Sunday nights. These are options for you to hear the gospel and have your faith grow. Is your flame flickering? Is it going out? Is it sparking? Well, are you feeding it? Are you troubled in your spirit? Or is anxiety overwhelming you? Are you finding yourself limp-wristed in a wishbone where your backbone should be on the public square? Or are you reaching those that are lost around you? Are you inflamed and engulfed like a tornado in a trailer park, telling everybody about Jesus? Or are you timid? Or you don't want to impose your beliefs on anybody? I tell you what, if my house was on fire and you drove by and it was burning down and it was the middle of the night, but you didn't want to disturb me, I don't want to impose my will on you and ask you to leave the house because it's on fire. You must be a hateful person. You got people in your life, their houses are on fire and they're going down the drain. But you don't want to impose your will on them. You don't want to disturb them and hurt their feelings. My house is on fire. Kick the door in. Snatch me out. Snatch my children. Snatch my dog. Snatch everything. Snatch me out. Save me. You must really hate me if you don't. Christian, if Christ ain't done nothing for you, you ain't going to do nothing for Him. What do I do? What do I do? Begin here. When you go home tonight or this afternoon, you say, God, send a revival to Riverside. But draw a line and a circle around yourself and say, fill everybody with your power and fire right inside the circle. Begin here with me. Lord, send a fire and stir the stokes in my heart. Lord, I've gotten too lackadaisical in my reading. I've not studied and meditated on your word. My hands are not laboring after you like they once did when I first loved you. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not beating anybody today. I'm just reminding you that Jesus is still on the throne. There's still God who reigns over everything. Yes. Are you serving Him likewise? Or have you fallen asleep at your post? Have you fell asleep in your lazy boy pew, kicked it back and said, okay, I'll just ride my pew on into heaven? No, there's work to be done. There's work. There's people who are lost. And some of them are here today. Because if you're not concerned with the lost, you're lost yourself. Let's just be honest with you. I'm just telling you. I know I ain't going to get a lot of high fives to say good sermon, preacher, because I'm preaching to the literal choir this morning. Are you stirred in your heart? Do you love Him like you did when you first met Him? Oh, because I'm going to tell you this. He loves you still the same. His love towards you has not grown cold. Even though you have given Him reason to turn His back on you. Even though you have gave Him countless reasons to give up on you. He has not. Amen. You know what that causes me to do? It causes me to be stirred in my spirit to serve Him all the more. To honor Him with my talent, my treasures, and my time. I'll give my treasures up. Here, you can tell you, I'll write a check. I'll use some of my talents for Him, but then to give Him my time? Time is so valuable. I'll just hire a preacher to read the Bible for me. I'll hire a preacher to pray over me because I don't need to pray. I'll just outsource that. I'll hire Brother Danny to sing praise and worship. I'll hire Miss Becky to play the piano so I don't have to hum a song to Him all week. I'll just come and mumble through a hymnal. Victory. I'll just mumble through that. That way I can just go through the rest of the week and say, I checked that box off. I don't have to do anything. Because I've took my lamp and I've hid it under my bed or I've put it under a jar. And my lamp is going out. It's being snuffed out. All through the book of Revelation, we see where Jesus is speaking to the churches. It says, you fell out of love with your first love. Return to your first love again. I'm not picking on anybody individually here. I'm stirring your heart to come to Jesus in spite of you. Because He hasn't given up on you. Jesus doesn't drift away from us. We're the John boats. We're the John boats. We know about them John boats. They'll drift to the middle of the lake if you don't tie them up. We're the one drifting away from Him. Our hearts are prone to wander. So this morning, this is the grace of God to snatch you and hold on to say, you're mine. You ain't going to run out there and do that. You ain't going to act a fool. I'm the shepherd. Walk closely with me. This is God's mercy towards you. Romans 1 says, His kindness leads us to repentance. This morning, if you need to repent of snuffing out your lamp or hiding it under a bed, not being explicit, letting everybody know that you're a Christian. People on your job should know you are a Christian, that you serve Him. People in your family should know that you're not going to laugh at everything they laugh at. You're not going to watch everything they watch because you are holy and separated and set apart. We just need to drag the horse in here. Because it's dead, I just keep beating it. Christian, you should look different than the rest of the world. Amen. Your motives should not be a political affiliation. Republicans will rise again. We're going to take the country. No, you serve Christ and Christ only. We need to make sure we get our candidate in the office that needs to be in. That's good and fine. But foremost, Christ and Christ only. Let me remind you yet again. If Christ ain't done nothing for you, you ain't going to do nothing for Him. And I'm just going to be honest here at the river. God has done a lot for the people here at the river. And you know what? I see it. I see it and the others see it. Let me encourage you. The birthday cards that somebody gets. Thank you. Continue in your ministry. The phone calls. Thank you. Continue in your ministry. The visits. Thank you. Continue in your ministry. Whenever you have those encounters in downtown Goldsboro, Princeton, Smithfield, and you see somebody and they just encourage you, thank you. Continue in your ministry. Those daily calls you give each other. Hey, preacher was on fire. Preacher's crazy. Thank you. Continue in your ministry. But those who are sowing discord, those who are devils in the pews, continue in your ministry too. We'll be about the glory of God. You'll be about the glory of the Prince of Darkness. You do you, boo. You just do what you do, and we'll continue serving Jesus because Jesus has done a lot for us.
Amen.
Well, that being said, this is usually where we bow our heads and pray. But I'm afraid that some of y'all might think, well, he might hit me again when I close my eyes. I'm not going to do that. I do hope this morning that you.